VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Today we're continuing, well, what appears to be a two-day series pertaining to Bible prophecy. Yesterday we brought back a classic film, A Thief in the Night. Distributor Rich Cristiano was with us. And I do just want to mention our phone number because we were flooded yesterday afternoon. Our line was busy for most of the afternoon following the broadcast. And if you did not get through to our office, please know the series is still available online at VCYAmerica.org. That's your easiest way, VCYAmerica.org, or you may call our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. Well, there's interesting news from the Middle East. I saw a tweet go out from President Trump this morning. Iran planning on a sneak attack, he said, on American troops and upon assets in Iraq, warning that Iran will pay a very heavy price. And as we said yesterday, this is a very interesting time to be alive as we see so many things unfolding before our eyes. I've called it a dress rehearsal for that which is to come. Well, ladies and gentlemen, many of us are familiar with Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, which says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Did you capture that phrase? The day approaching. In the Bible, Jesus spoke about the signs that would make it clear that his return is near. What are those signs? Are they evident today? Well, our guest today is going to provide us a very unique perspective from his vantage point as he is in Israel. And today it's our privilege to welcome a first-time guest, Amir Sarfati. He's a native Israeli and former major in the Israeli Defense Forces, the founder and president of Behold Israel. That's a nonprofit ministry that provides access to news and information about Israel from a biblical and prophetic standpoint. He's the author of The Day Approaching, Israeli's Message of Warning and Hope for the Last Days. And Amir, it's later into the night there, but thank you for staying up and joining us here for the program Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It's my pleasure.
Before we speak about your book itself, I'd like to learn a little bit more about your background. You're an Israeli. Tell us, in brief, how you came to faith in Christ.
Well, I'm a native-born Israeli, born in Jerusalem to a Jewish family. When I was at a very young age, at the age of three, my parents divorced. I ended up living with my aunt, later on living in foster homes, and towards the end of 17, I really thought there is no really good reason to stay alive in this terrible world. I was not having the best life in different foster care and foster homes, foster families, and then I literally considered putting an end to my life, and that is, I remember the time when I learned that my best friend in school actually is not just best friend, but he's also special in the way of his faith, and because when I went to his house, I was exposed to something very different. His parents and his siblings were all sitting together before lunch, holding hands, praying and asking God to bless the food and thanking him for me even being there, and then ending up the prayer with B'Shem Yeshua, which means in the name of Jesus. And that really intrigued me to start asking questions, and of course they answered. Of course I didn't get it all, but something within me was telling me this is the right thing. And so I kept coming back and I kept asking questions and I kept being part of their gatherings. And then one day I asked the million-dollar question, why do you always pray in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus?
Wow.
Isn't God enough? And then they explained, but it wasn't clear enough to me. So they told me, why don't you just ask God who Yeshua, who Jesus is? And so I did. I wrote on a piece of paper that very question. I asked it while kneeling down. And the next morning, I woke up. I went to work before school. I put together the morning newspaper. And there you go, in the main page of the most important newspaper in Israel, a big one-page advertisement, Yeshua, J Jesus. It was actually the Jesus film of Campus Crusade, the famous Jesus film that was translated to all languages. And it was in a regular movie theater in Jerusalem for 2 nights only, just after I prayed. And I went to see the movie. Everything came together. All the prophecies of the Old Testament, everything made sense to me. I didn't. When I accepted Jesus into my heart, it was before I read a single verse in the New Testament. And I'm always reminded that in the first century, nobody came to faith in Jesus while reading the New Testament. And my point was that the scriptures then were the Old Testament only, and even 2,000 years later, the Old Testament was powerful enough, the words of the prophets were powerful enough to grab a hold of a Jewish heart and to convince him that from now on, when you read the New Testament, you understand that it's connected very much so to the old one. And that's it. I joined the army, and the Lord has, you know, never left me since. I found the meaning for my life. I found the reason why I'm still alive. I found a great joy and comfort and hope, and nowadays, the most important thing, the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for His working in your heart and your coming to faith in Christ. As also, just to set the stage here for our own interview, tell our listeners about the view that you have from your backyard, because you overlook a very significant valley, don't you?
Yeah, I do. In fact, if you called me yesterday around this time, you would have heard the sound of F-16s landing back from a mission, which would happen to be a strike in Syria. I live in the Jezreel Valley, known as the Valley of Armageddon. Mm. My backyard is looking at the valley in front of you, and on the right-hand side, you can see Mount Carmel, where Elijah had the contest with the prophets of Baal, according to 1 Kings 18. I live in a very biblical neighborhood, but I don't have any plans to be here during that Revelation 16:16 time.
It's a very interesting view, and that's why I said you're going to be coming from a vantage point that is very unique. How does that view that you see right there, Amir, how does that impact the urgency of your message?
Well, you know, I'm looking at this valley, and I understand that this very valley will eventually bring literally the armies of the world to fight with God. And it reminds me that this is the last phase of a long battle of humanity with God, of a long rebellion of humanity against God. And looking at the valley and knowing what I know about the future of that valley gives me the urgency and the drive to spread the message of repentance and, of course, the message of the good news that we do have the solution for the terrible problem of sin, and that is, of course, the finished work of Jesus on the cross.
So, friends, as you're listening today, that is his view from his backyard, this valley where this battle is going to happen, the battle at Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, and it's with that urgency he gives the message here today and writes about and his ministry is about. Amir, you often repeat a phrase, any day now. What do you mean by that?
It means that there is really nothing that should happen that had to have happened before the church needs to be out of here. In other words, any day now means it can happen literally any day now. Looking around, seeing what the world is looking like, looking at Israel back in their land, seeing the unbelievable signs that Jesus himself gave us in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, and, of course, the most important thing, one of the most important signs of the end times is the fig tree that came back to life. And Jesus said, when you see this, then you know it is at your doorpost. To me, nothing has to happen anymore for us to be out of here soon. So any day now means it can really happen any day now.
So you firmly believe that the day of the return of the Lord for his saints is rapidly approaching.
Absolutely, and that's is exactly why I have that urgency to share the message of Jesus and to travel all around the world when it was still possible, and to bring as many people to Israel and to show them the land and to bring them to the reality of the Messiah and the Bible, not just the pages in a book somewhere around the world. And of course, to go all the way online to broadcast to the whole world that the time is near. Look, I mean, when Jesus said about his return, that he wants to find us doing the Father's business. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be about the Father's business. That's exactly what he meant. We're not to sit and count sheep or to just, be about our own business. We are to be about our Father's business because the time is near.
We're speaking today with Amir Sarfati. He is in Israel as we speak, lives there. He's a native Israeli. He has written the book, The Day Approaching, an Israeli's Message of Warning and Hope for the Last Days. As you were making some comments earlier, you responded to talking about the fig tree. What is the significance of that fig tree? And we know that Scripture also uses a term this generation. And the question that so many people have is, what is this generation? What is that being talked about? How is that that generation then? What is that generation talking about?
That's a great question that a lot of people are wondering. First of all, the fig tree is one of the three major trees that the Bible is likening Israel to. You've got the olive tree, you've got the fig tree, and of course, you've got the vine. Now you have one is the spiritual privileges of Israel, the vine. One is the religious privileges of Israel, having the Torah, having the ordinances, and having the fathers and all of that. And that is the religious privileges, and that's the olive tree. But then there is the national privileges of Israel, the land, the Jerusalem, all of those things that makes us a nation, and the language and everything. And that is always being described as the fig tree. And when the enemy comes to drive us out of here, the enemy wants to devour the fig tree, not the olive. The enemy cannot take us out of our faith or out of our spiritual privileges. That is a spiritual thing. But they can kick us out of the land, they can level Jerusalem to the ground, and they can harm the fig tree. And so we need to remember that when Jesus talked about the fig tree, and when you see it coming back to life, that means that fig tree was dead for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And when that fig tree comes back to life means when Israel is back in their land, when Jerusalem is back in their hand, when national privileges are restored back to Israel, this is when the generation that is seeing that shall not pass away. Okay. And we are, by the way, since 1948, we are the only generation that has seen it since the time Israel lived in the land.
Okay, we're going to come back with that right after the break to learn more about this generation. Folks, what an exciting time to be alive and to observe all that is taking place before our very eyes. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long have spiders been around?
Chris, spiders have been around evidently since creation, and even now evolutionists are admitting they've been around for a long, long time. Recently, a very well-preserved fossil spider was found in rock, dated by evolutionists to be about 300 million years old. Yet it was identical to a modern-day spider, complete with 8 legs and even the intricate web-spinning features of modern spiders. The point is, Chris, there's no such thing as a simple organism. They're all complex, right from creation, with all of the abilities that we now attribute to them. Spiders may have had a different lifestyle back before the curse, but there is no such thing as simple to complex evolution, even among spiders. They were created, just like it says, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're speaking directly to Israel right now. Amir Sarfati is there. He lives there. His ministry is there. He's overlooking the Valley of Armageddon and talking about things to come. He's written a book called The Day Approaching, an Israeli's message of warning and hope for the last days. I just want to make mention of this, that in light of our interview today, our VCY bookstore has been extending their offer for this book. They featured it during their March Book of the Month, but in light of the interview today, this book, The Day Approaching, it normally retails for $15.99, but they have extended that through April 18th. They have worked out an arrangement with the publisher, and they are offering this book at 47% off, just $8.47, plus any applicable tax or the shipping to you, but it's available, the retail at $8.47 through April 18th. And the way to obtain that at that special arrangement, and I don't know that it's available that like that anyplace else, go to vcy.com. That's different than a website we gave yesterday, vcy.com, or you may call direct right now at this number, 414-463-1770. That's 414-463-1770 or 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829, because I can see already the book is going to have much more information that we're going to get out during the course of this interview here, but some very wonderful things that are talked about in The Day Approaching. Let me ask you here, Amir. We were talking about the fig tree and that reference to Israel, and we saw what happened in May of 1948, and then we get to the phrase about this generation. Scripture uses that term, this generation, and it prompts the question, how long is a generation? That's something that you have pondered and have written about as well. You address it in this book. Clue us in.
Yeah, well, again, generation, it's a question, the length of a generation is a question many people have been asking. Some of them looked at the idea of the generation of the desert, therefore maybe it's 40 years, but then when you read, you see that God talked about the generation of the desert that were 20 and above, so there is 20 years extra here. And then we look at what Moses wrote in Psalm 90. Of course, Moses, that was probably the only psalm I know that he wrote. And he definitely wrote in Psalm 90, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. So then you see from Moses, we get an understanding that there is a span of 70, 80, and we also understand that there's some other references in the scriptures that basically gives us a picture of a length of a generation somewhere between 70 to 100 years.
Okay.
And 1948 was the year Israel was born as a nation. The fig tree came back to life, and I believe that a generation is the anyone that lives, whether it's a baby or it's an old person, throughout that time, that specific time frame. And I also believe that, by the way, life begins at conception. Mm. So I believe that we've got this whole 100 years span, anything from 70 to 100 years. And by the way, Israel is already 72, 73 years old. We don't have much time left for a generation to expire.
Wow, wow, very interesting. And at the same time, we affirm that no man knows the day nor the hour of the Lord's return.
No, not at all. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the times and the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the day and we don't know the hour, so we can be always ready. But the Lord gave us, by His grace, an understanding of the times and the seasons in which we live. He gave us signs. He gave us hints. God never wants His children to be in the dark. I mean, in Isaiah 46, He said in verses 9 and 10, I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God really wants us to know the end from the beginning. He declares it. And that's why so many times in the Bible it says, let he who has ears hear what the Spirit has to say.
Yeah.
He says it. The question is, do we hear?
Right, right. And so therefore, we can boldly say, any day now.
Absolutely.
you also take some time in your book to discuss the 70 weeks as found in the book of Daniel. This has been something that has been difficult for some to understand as well. Can you kind of dissect that for us?
Yeah, I think that the problem is that people don't understand that Daniel started at one place wanting some clarity about the 70 years that Israel had to spend in Babylon and Persia and then come back home. And then because of his faithfulness, God actually revealed to him literally the history and the future of Israel from the moment the king of Persia will allow with a decree to Nehemiah to build the walls of the city and the temple all the way to the point that the temple will be rebuilt and destroyed, and a long pause after that, when Israel will have to face a great man who will increase or confirm a peace deal with Israel halfway through, will break it, try to kill them, but Israel eventually is going to survive. So Daniel was shocked. I mean, we're being given here not just a vague picture of what the future of Israel is going to be. We were given the exact number of days that we can actually count from the decree to build Jerusalem to the entrance of the Messiah into Jerusalem. And that, it's amazing because we know exactly when the decree was given. That's in Nehemiah chapter 2. And we know exactly when Jesus was born. And we know, Walter Anderson wrote a book, The Coming Prince. And in his book, he actually calculated. He says, look, we know exactly how many days in a biblical year. And we know exactly that Daniel prophesied altogether 70 weeks, which is 490 years. However, he separated the last week from the previous 69. He says 7 and 62 shall pass, and then Messiah will come, and he will be cut off. And so you take 69, you times 7, times 360 days per biblical year, and you get 173,880 days, and we know we actually received the exact day Jesus entered in the year 32 A.D., April 6, 32 A.D., as he rode a donkey and entered, and which is the only time Jesus allowed his disciples to say that he is the Messiah. All the other times he says, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. The only time he said, oh, if they don't speak, then the stones will cry out.
Right.
That was the day he was supposed to enter according to the prophecy of Daniel. What amazes me is that when God gives us such a prophecy with the exact number of years and days. By the way, Daniel goes on later on in chapter 11 and in chapter 12, and also the book of Revelation does the same thing. When it doesn't even give us only months and years, it actually gives us days.
Days, yeah. And friends, you can learn more about that in his book called The Day Approaching by Amir Sarfati. People do look at the nation of Israel today, Amir. As you know, they see a lot of secularism, and it leads some to believe that God has permanently turned his back on Israel and he's through with Israel. How do you respond when people ask, where is God in Israel today?
Well, I respond, show me one church in America that is perfect. My response is always, it is not our business, it's God's business. And Israel will never, ever be saved unless they acknowledge the Prince of Peace, unless they acknowledge Jesus coming back according to Zechariah 12. They look at the one whom they pierced, and they will mourn and they will cry, like they cry on the firstborn. Israel will eventually be saved when they acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. But until then, God is not going to throw them away. God has a plan for them, because we know that the return of Jesus back to earth has to happen when Israel is back in the land, back in Jerusalem, crying out for God and saying, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He told Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In fact, Israel was never perfect. Not even a single chapter in the Bible can show you a perfect nation. Yet God, by his grace, has a perfect plan for Israel. And we can see that the mindset of Christians that God is done with Israel already started in the first century. And this is exactly why in Romans 11, Paul had to make it very clear. Listen, if you think that God is done with his people, has God cast away his people whom he foreknew? Absolutely not. He says, I am also an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. God did not cast away the people whom he foreknew. And then he goes all the way to say that there has to happen, several things has to happen, and then all Israel is going to be saved.
Yeah, wow.
So if you don't understand that there is a plan here, that God is allowing Israel to be in the dark right now. By the way, the Bible says, through their fall, in order to provoke them to jealousy, salvation was given to the Gentiles.
And praise God for that.
Yeah, hallelujah. So
yes.
I'm saying, how can you enjoy their fall and yet not expect and pray for their standing, for their revival? Okay, this is what we are, you know, God never said in his word that he's done with Israel. If anything, all the prophecies regarding the end times are talking about the return of Israel back to the land, back to the Lord. First, he brings them back to the land in the physical sense, and then he brings them back to him in the spiritual sense.
Wow. Mira Sarfati with us here today. You write in your book that we're living in a time of great anticipation, but also a time of great apostasy. And I'd like you to address this issue of apostasy. Do you believe the apostasy you refer to is still to come, or is it already here?
I think it's already here. Unfortunately, there are the number of churches that are preaching the full message of the Bible is dwindling, is going down. We're talking about sensationalism. We're talking about relying only on experiences and things of the feelings. We can clearly see that in many churches, worship songs replace the teaching, sound teaching of the Bible. We can see illiteracy, biblical illiteracy. People don't even read they don't even know the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
And that breaks my heart, because, you know, this is the most important thing that Jesus wanted us to do.
Amen. Oh, folks, what a warning to us. I mean, in this land of plenty, Christian broadcasting, Bibles and bookstores, and yet we're living in a time of biblical illiteracy, as if there is a spiritual famine in the land. We'll have just a few more interactions with our guests before we open our phone lines. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY.
The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
Well, the clock tells me we're not going to get through all the things I had planned to discuss here today, but you can obtain his book, The Day Approaching, an Israeli's Message of Warning and Hope for the Last Days by Amir Sarfati. Certainly as you look at the last times, The Day Approaching, you're going to learn about God's plans for the world, for Israel, for the church, and yes, for you, that the signs of Christ's return are visible all around us, about the smokescreen of deception that will lure people away from the truth, how even now God is revealing himself to people, changing hearts, and of the wonders that await us in Jesus' future millennial kingdom. Spends a lot of time talking about the millennial kingdom as well as to what is the reason for it, what will it be like, what follows millennium. That's all in the book. And again, just a reminder that our VCY bookstore is extending their offer to the date of April 18th. The book is normally $15.99. It is, just a little over 200 pages long. It's a very easy read, easy to read pages, but they're offering this at 47% off, just $8.47 through April 18th, plus any applicable tax and or shipping. You can call the bookstore at 413-463-1770 or 1-888-722-4829 or at vcy.com, vcy.com. As I mentioned, Amir, there's so much to talk about, but let's also just mention something that's going on in the world today. I mean, it doesn't matter what country you're in. Everybody's talking about the coronavirus. We see the clamping down even by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We see the election chaos that's happened in Israel over the past three elections, and now this unified government agreement that appears to be coming about. But just give us your perspective of where things are today in Israel in particular, even as we look toward what God has here for the future.
So first of all, let's remember that God was not taken by a surprise with the coronavirus.
Amen.
They, obviously, this, and I have my own opinion of how it started, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But I do want to know to tell you is that God is in full control, and he definitely has allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't dare think that this is a judgment of God, because I know what the judgment of God is going to look like. If you read the book of Revelation, you know what this coronavirus is all about is nothing compares to the judgment of God that will come upon a very unbelieving and rebellious world. However, we can clearly see that the coronavirus pandemic right now is reshaping the Middle East and the world in many, many different ways and forms. And at least in Israel, we can see that a year-long political deadlock has come to an end, not because of anything but a little microscopic virus.
Yeah.
That microscopic virus caused the opposition leader to Netanyahu to eventually say, you know what, it's a big battle to fight. We need to fight it together. Let's form a government together. Actually, as we speak right now, they're talking and polishing the agreement, and maybe by tomorrow it will already be presented to the parliament. Now, we need to understand that all across the Middle East, the pandemic is afflicting countries, changing patterns, and causing things to be reached. I mean, look at what's going on with Iran right now.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's going on. American presence in Iraq is dwindling right now. America is evacuating at least five or seven or eight main army bases in Iraq, and your president just warned the Iranians not to take advantage of this evacuation and to hurt American troops. Look, what Iran couldn't get America to do, a virus made America doing. We can also see what's going on in northern Syria. I mean, most of the war that was going on in Idlib between the Turks and the Syrians have come to a stop because of what's going on. Now, Syria is fighting the pandemic. Turkey is fighting that pandemic. And it is really, and the thing is this, all those totalitarian, you know, regimes are normally hide the real numbers of casualties. And because they do that, they don't take care of the problem. And because they don't, it hits them harder. And we see that happening right now all across parts of the Middle East and and around the world. But we also can see that worldwide there is an understanding of hundreds of millions of people that there is a need for a cashless society. There is a need for vaccined or vaccinated society. There is a need for a better supervision of IDs and people's medical history. All of these things God is allowing now to happen, and man is going to somehow engineer it to prepare the platform for the Antichrist, I believe.
Wow.
We are watching it happening right before our very eyes. And for us, the believers, this pandemic is just a taste of what the world is going to go through when we're out of here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 100, if not 1,000 times more severe than what we are witnessing right now.
Yeah, significant portions of the Earth's population just gone as a result.
Yep.
Much death that will take place.
Quarter of the Earth. That equals to 2 billion people.
Wow. Friends, let's open phone lines. Time is going so quickly, and maybe you've got a brief question you'd like to ask on as it pertains to prophecy or current events, even with Israel. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Our number again, 1-800-733-9829. And we're talking about the book today, The Day Approaching, an Israeli's Message of Warning and Hope for the Last Days. Our guest is Amir Sarfati. As we mentioned, he is the founder and president of Behold Israel. They provide access to news and information about Israel from a biblical and prophetic standpoint. The book deals with so much more than what we covered on the broadcast today, even things pertaining to the Antichrist. He writes about the church, the body of Christ, as that restrainer here on the earth. He writes about apostasy and many, many other items taking place. Again, that's available here through the VCY bookstore. Let's go to Buckeye, Arizona. We have Raymond that is calling. Raymond, you're on the air.
Hi. I've just been listening for a while now. Finally able to get through to you guys. I understand that there's kind of a split between the two ideas of pre-tribulation, mid, post, and all that. I understand. And using the Matthew 24 kind of as evidence for you is also evidence for me to disbelieve that that we're going to be out of here before anything bad happens to us. Now, as my understanding goes,
okay, Raymond, give us a specific question that our guests can respond to.
Sure. So I want you to give an explanation to maybe other Christians out there to say if they're going to suffer at all before Jesus comes back and raptures his church or not.
Okay, and thank you for that question. And we do know, as Scripture says, Amir, that those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So address the question that our caller had.
Well, Jesus never promised that any believer that we're going to have a garden of roses and easy life. He says, in this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. It's interesting because Jesus is promising us that there are going to be tribulations in plural, and that's not the great tribulation, that's not the time of judgment of God upon this world. This is the tribulations that go with being godly people in a very ungodly world, being righteous people in a very unrighteous world. And yes, we see persecution of Christians in the past. We see persecutions of Christians even today all across the Middle East. In fact, this current administration right now, one of the major goals of this administration is to help the persecuted Christians across the world. I mean, I know that for a fact from firsthand from people who work for this administration. So persecution is still there. But there's a big difference between what the world is doing to us and the judgment of God that is going to come upon the world. And for that, I believe personally that the Bible says, and that's what Jesus talked to the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3. First of all, in Thessalonians, we know that we're not destined to the wrath of God. But then, of course, Jesus said, I will keep you out of the hour of trial that is about to come upon this world. And, of course, chapter 4, you see a beautiful symbolic picture of the rapture by ways of John invited up to heaven. And from that moment, from chapter 4, verse 1, to almost chapter 20, throughout the entire tribulation, there's not even a single mentioning of the church. And you can see that there is a mentioning of the saints of the tribulation, those who will come to faith throughout the tribulation, probably as a result of the ministry of the 144,000 Jews mm-hmm. and the two witnesses. But the church is up there and is going through the marriage ceremony and, of course, the Bema seat of Christ. Now, look, being a pre-trib doesn't mean that we are escapists. We do not want to escape. We were promised to be escaped. And of course, nobody wants to go through the Great Tribulation. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, pre, mid, and post-trib is basically how you want to make it to heaven. Rare, medium, or well done. And that's it.
Tell you what, we got a lot of callers laying out. Let's go to Phil next. Go ahead, Phil, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering if you could help me understand. Do you think that President Trump is part of this whole coronavirus thing? I mean, or is this something that just came upon that he's having to deal with?
I mean, did he cause it? Is that your question?
Well, are the nations, are they coming together to create the one world order government, do you think?
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. And Amir, thank you for the question. Amir, we do have those that are calling for one world government to deal with this, a one world new order.
Absolutely. And they are as far as the east from the west from President Trump's ideology. He is the major fighter against globalism. And he's a very nationalist. He's very much patriotic. He is not what you may think that the media is trying to portray him. Look, if anything, the coronavirus is causing nations to become more nationalistic than anything else. Now, there are a few people now that are calling for one world government, but the people... Listen, I'm talking as an Israeli. Every single Israeli that was anywhere around the world is now flocking and flooding back to Israel where he feels safe. This type of terrible pandemic is causing people to rush back to their countries, to want to be back with their families, back with their nations, back with their language. If anything, and that's what makes the globalists go mad. And look at how the media in America is going crazy because they see that the president is handling this very well, and they go nuts because, hey, this is a chance for us to cry out that everything is falling apart, when in reality it's not. Yes, it's a pandemic. Yes, it's not easy, but we are going to go through it. And I don't think Trump has anything to do with any one-world government plans. In fact, he is fighting it for the longest time.
We'll be back in 1 minute with more of your questions here on Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. For nearly 2 years, we've been warning about the National Commission on Military, National, and Public Service. This was a commission put into place by Barack Obama and the late John McCain as Barack Obama was going out the door of the Oval Office. And this commission has spent over 2 years studying, well, drafting America's daughters. Yes, you heard me right. Requiring that women sign up for the Selective Service and could be drafted if there's a national draft if they're between the age of 18 and 26. But it's more than that. Hiding under the idea of national service and military and patriotism and civic duty is nothing more than a massive federally funded attempt of brainwashing. Mandatory service, social justice warriors, community organizers, all being trained, and they're calling for national testing, which will lead to national curriculum, and you'll have to do this to graduate. Oh, guess what? It includes homeschoolers. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Amir Sarfati is our guest today, author of the book, The Day Approaching. Again, just one more time here, it is available 47% off through April 18th, just $8.47. Any applicable tax and shipping would be added to that. But you can go to vcy.com. That'll be your fastest way. Or there's a single line going into the bookstore, 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829. We're going next to the state of Utah, and Kathy is calling. Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, Amir. Love your ministry. Appreciate all that you do in keeping us informed. I would just like to ask, our generation has seen so many major prophecies coming to pass, and the big one was Israel becoming a nation and all the prophecies of Israel in all these years. And I want to ask, are we that generation?
Thank you, Kathy.
Great question, Kathy. I do believe so. In fact, when I mention that we, you know, we are the generation that shall not pass away because we are here to witness the fig tree coming back to life. Yes, we are. I believe that with all of my heart. And that is one of the main reasons why we need to be about our Father's business, because he's about to come and take us, and that's what we need to be doing.
Occupy till I come. Thank you, Kathy. Let's go to Brian in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Brian.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out something. From what I've been reading in the Bible, there is no actual Antichrist mentioned in Revelations. There's many Antichrists. It talks about the beast. And if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me, but Martin Luther and John Calvin and a few of the Reformers already pointed out that the beast was the papacy. I'm curious about what you think about that.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Well, I believe that the Bible in Revelation 13 speaks of two beasts. Not one. It speaks of the beast coming out of the sea, and it speaks of the one that is in the land, and it's definitely a world leader that is emerging out of nowhere as a political leader and a religious leader that is already here as what we call the false prophet. And I do believe that there's a good chance that the false prophet indeed could be a pope. However, the political leader that everybody will worship and that the false prophet will actually want them to worship is indeed the Antichrist. Don't forget, the book of Revelation is not giving us a different picture than the book of Daniel or than what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. The Bible is not contradicting itself. The Bible is giving us more and more revelations of the same plan, of the same God. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So I do believe it's the Antichrist. Yes, it is called the beast, but it is called the beast in the book of Revelation. It's called the Antichrist in Thessalonians, and Daniel calls it also a different name. And it's all referring to the same person driven by Satan himself.
Thank you, Brian. We're going next to Wausau, Wisconsin, and Trevor is calling. You on the air, Trevor.
Hi. For Amir, I heard your story about how you got saved and you knew Jesus, and I'm kind of frustrated because, like, I put my faith in him, but I still struggle with, like, alcohol and stuff, and I'm wondering, why does everybody experience deliverance but me? And he said that drunkards won't inherit the kingdom of God. Well, if I'm saved, then how is that even possible? I don't understand. I'm kind of frustrated.
Yeah, I totally understand that. But the question is of course, to what extent do you offer yourself as a living sacrifice before God, and what is it that you still keep to yourself? We need to, when we come before the Lord, then he needs to be everything and not something. And by the way, the fact that you become a believer doesn't mean that you will never, ever struggle with anything anymore in your life.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what is the God in your life? Is it still alcohol, or is it Jesus now that you worship? But the more you put God in your life, the less you have for anything else. And the more you allow other things, the less you have for the power of God to work in you. And so I believe that's where it is. But, you know, no Christian is a perfect person, and no Christian will will get to the point until we're out of here. And, you know, First Corinthians 15 says that only when our body will change in this corruption, where we're in corruption, that's when we can get out of here. But in this body, all of us cannot make it to heaven.
Yeah. Indeed, and Trevor, we find even in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul wrote about that battle in the flesh, the good that I should not do, that I'm doing, and that what I shouldn't do, that's, you know, he had the conflict, and he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver?" And we find that answer is Jesus Christ, who does provide that deliverance. And we'd certainly like to, and time is really short right now, but we'd be glad to even refer you to get connected to a local pastor in your community to guide you through some of these things, how you can have victory in your life. But we need to be sure that indeed we are of the faith, that we have turned from our sin, turned to the Savior, place our trust in Him, bathe ourselves in the world, in the Word, not in the world. And those issues are so critically important for us, and we appreciate your call. If we can do more, follow up through our main switchboard here, if you will. Any further comment there, Amir?
No, I think it was wonderful. People talked about, current events, about some very major eschatological issues, mm-hmm. and we even referred to the generation that shall not pass away. It's wonderful.
Yeah, indeed. Let's see if we can sneak in Jesus in Glendale, Arizona. Yes. You're on the air very quickly.
Shalom. I just wanted to say, yes, I believe we're there. We're seeing bits and pieces of Revelation 13 as you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. And we see the one world government already, which is the United Nations, which will be the first six. And then the one world religion will be led by Pope Francis, where last week where he prayed by himself, interceding for the world, really, about the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. He cleared out the Vatican by himself.
Okay, we've got 30 seconds. Amir, any comment here for our guests?
Well, I believe that the tribulation has not begun yet. Mm-hmm. I believe that it has to start with the rise of the Antichrist, and then with the 7 years that he will cut to deal with Israel, and from that we start counting.
Okay.
The platform is ready.
The platform is ready. That's a good way to put it. Thank you, Jesus, for your phone call, and to others. We apologize to others who've been on hold. We're not able to get you your calls. But again, to obtain the book, you can contact the bookstore, vcy.com, or 1-888-722-4829. They have it reduced by 47% off through April 18th. And Amir, thank you so much for joining us from Israel here today.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, thanks for stopping by and joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.